Cindy and I, we have a dual alarm at home. And so we got two alarms and then two different alarm sounds that it creates. And so one of them's kind of a gentle volume increasing alarm. And the second one, it's immediately loud, it's blaring, it's obnoxious. And every once in a while, we accidentally set the wrong type of alarm and we get this offensively loud alarm. And when it goes off, we wake up. You know, it brings us out of our sleep. It's fast. We're wide awake. Heart's pounding. We start the day very abruptly. I need Xanax at that point. I mean, I hate that alarm. I prefer the gentle, kind of volume increasing alarm. I also like the snooze feature we've got. It's motion sensored and heat sensitive. And so I don't even have to hit the snooze button. I just got to get in the general proximity of the alarm. And I'm just curious, how many of you hit the snooze on a regular basis on your phone? Yeah. How many of you, is that why you were late today? Yeah. You know, statistics say that 1/3 of Americans hit the snooze button 3 times every morning, which I find that just amazing. But I had a roommate in college. We took a early class together at 7 a.m. Actually, I should say we registered for a class met at 7. And I was usually coming in from work. I worked midnights at Kroger's at the time. And his alarm would be blaring in the room. And so I would head to the shower, and when I got back, his alarm still blaring. Sometimes I'd go around the room and I'd whistle. And I would do that the whole time I'm getting ready. If you didn't recognize it, hi-ho, hi-ho. So usually I'd head out the door, and it got to be a routine, and I would be like, later, snoozy, see you in 3. And then it got so routine that I would get done with the 3-hour class. I'd come back to the room, and many times he was still in bed hitting the snooze alarm, and he did that most of the semester. How many college students do I have here today? Yeah. Okay. All right. This is just wisdom here. He paid for the class. He did not pass the class, all right? So take it for what it's worth. We're continuing our series of Vibrations. We're exploring the amazing work of the Holy Spirit. And we're talking about how it is so vital to our Christian walk. Last week, we talked about the guidance of the Holy Spirit. We talked about the fact that we live in confusing times. I think most of us would agree that there are all these voices out there. They're echoing in our head. We talked about the signs that we get from society and friends and family and the media and culture. And those signs are plentiful, and they're very, very powerful. And the signs that you listen to and you follow will determine who you become as a person. Today, I'm going to challenge you to listen to the Holy Spirit, because you're the only one that can let him in. I mean, no one else can do this for you. No one else can speak the words that you should speak or the things you should do. And I'm going to challenge you to live a life with your arms wide open to the Holy Spirit leading you. And it's where your book begins. And the rest of your life, it's unwritten at this point. You get to decide. The leadings of the Holy Spirit will totally change your life. But sadly, I think too many people treat that leading, that voice that God puts in us, more like an alarm clock. You know, when the Holy Spirit raises an alarm, too often what we do, we just reach over, hit the snooze button in our lives. Maybe because we're too busy, don't have time. Maybe we're simply just ignoring it because we don't want to respond. We don't like where the Holy Spirit's trying to push us or get us to change something. And so what we do is we hit the spiritual snooze. And we hope we just won't have to deal with whatever it is that the Holy Spirit wants us to deal with. Today I'm going to look at a story. It's found in the Gospel of John. Jesus is with his disciples. It's the night before he's going to be crucified. And he's sharing with them some very, very, very important things. And he's wanting them to respond. And it says, when he arrives, and it's talking about the Holy Spirit there, he will uncover the sins of the world, expose unbelief as sin, and allow all to see their sins in the light of righteousness for the first time. This new awareness of righteousness is important because I'm going to the Father and will no longer be present with you. Now, there's several things that jump at me. It says uncover, expose, new awareness. Those are words that are kind of weaved through the passage, and they're derived from one Greek word, which is conviction. It's a complex word, and although the word conviction doesn't appear there, all the meaning of conviction does. The disciples and people in that day would have readily understood the three things about conviction. You know, three things that I think we miss if they had just translated it conviction, which is to rebuke, to reprove, and to convince. That's the three parts of conviction in the Greek. You know, and that's what I want to do, is kind of unpack this word. You know, to rebuke, we don't even like that word, but it's to be stern, blaring disapproval. It's full awareness and uncovering the sin in our lives. And friends, that is the beginning of salvation. It's a sense of guilt that comes from sin in our life. If there is no conviction, then there's no awareness of sin. There's no repentance. And without repentance, there's no forgiveness. And without forgiveness, well, friends, there's no salvation. So an awareness of sin in our lives is really the beginning point of salvation. In other words, if you're praying for somebody to come to Christ, to give their life to Jesus, pray the Holy Spirit convicts them. You know, salvation is the work of the Holy Spirit, period. And, you know, it's why Paul writes this. He says, and my message and my preaching were very plain. Rather than using clever, persuasive speeches, I relied on the power of the Holy Spirit. I did this so that you would trust not human wisdom, but the power of God. You cannot change people. You've figured that out, haven't you? But God, through the Holy Spirit, can change individuals. That's how you changed. You know, so as a Christian, we should watch for spiritual windows. I call them opportunities to share our faith, maybe a conversation, you know, pointing someone to God, you know, just a simple invite to church, an act of kindness, word of encouragement. And so we're faithful in that, obedient, continually praying for someone, hoping, and asking God through the Spirit to begin to change them. Some of you, God used you this morning already. You know, maybe a conversation out in the commons before service. You know, maybe some of you that are serving today on a ministry team, God's using you to touch someone's life. And what will happen is because of those things, the Holy Spirit may convict someone about something, but it's the Holy Spirit that convicts, that changes lives. You know, what I have come to realize through the years is I could have 10,000 conversations trying to convince somebody that they need Jesus Christ. And I could lay out compelling reasons for making Christ and God first in their life. And I do that. I will continue to do that. But I want to be very clear, it is the Holy Spirit that convicts people, that changes people, that brings about transformation in people's lives. You know, the Holy Spirit's power is the power of God. It's in the Holy Spirit that God speaks and resonates in our lives. In fact, for some, it may be happening right now. Maybe because of a conversation you had earlier. You know, maybe because of something you experienced this morning in the music, or might happen during the message, you know. But the Holy Spirit begins vibrating, echoing in your mind, in your heart. For some of you, it's that alarm that blares. You know, maybe it's an alarm about how you're living right now. And it, all of a sudden, it's a new awareness. You know, it's time to change. It's time to put God first. It's time to get the priorities straight and in order. For some of you, it's an alarm that points to some area of sin. And the Holy Spirit is blaring on that one. You hear it all the time. This is wrong. I know this is wrong. You know, stop doing this. Stop running. Stop playing games. It's that voice that you just can't get rid of. The alarm's sounding, so you'll repent. So you'll change. So you'll take that step. And this is just my best advice. Don't hit the spiritual snooze button. It is the work of the Holy Spirit trying to take you to a better place. You know, conviction also means to reprove. You know, it's the idea, and this is a little bit different, it's that gentleness of the Holy Spirit that keeps pointing out a fault or something you need to work on or a sin in order to, the Holy Spirit wants to lovingly guide you toward what's right, what's God honoring, what is best for you. It's that idea that he just keeps working so that you will be God honoring in your life, you know. So you will take that step or quit doing whatever. It's the feeling you get when, like, you go to the store and they don't charge you for something, and you're heading to the car and you look at your receipt and you're like, I should go back in and take care of this. It's that voice that goes, go back in. They didn't ring it up. Instead of going, cha-ching, all right, you know. It's that moment when you're filling out your tax return and you're not being exactly honest about it. You hear that voice, you know. When you're like gossiping about someone behind their back and that alarm starts going off, stop, quit, you shouldn't be doing this, make it right. It's how the Holy Spirit works all the time. Does this make sense? You've heard that voice. I remember I was working at Kroger's at the time, and anyway, one of the coworkers there, he was sporting a new The Cars jacket. You know, I'm talking about the rock group, okay? So it's they were big when I was young. You know, it's Moving in Stereo and Shake It Up and all that. I was a huge, huge Cars fan. And so when I saw the jacket, I'm like, wow. I go, where'd you get that, dude? I said, I love that. You know, I got to get one. And he goes, you can't. It's a limited edition import. He goes, do you want to buy it? He said, $75. Now, I know that doesn't sound like much now, but that was a lot of money back then. I bought it. It was an amazing jacket. It was silk. It was white. And it gave me supernatural powers. I no longer walked. I glided, my friends, through everything. I was like, whoo. Loved it. I had been wearing it everywhere I'd go. I would just wear it, you know, 100 degrees out. Got my jacket on, you know. And he goes, how you like the jacket? And I go, I love it. And he goes, easiest $75 I ever made. And the way he said it, I'm like, it was like alarm going off in my head. I go, well, how much did you get for it? He goes, nothing. And I'm like, what do you mean? He goes, well, I borrowed it, then I sold it to you. You know, I just told my brother's friend that I lost it. Ooh. So all night I'm working. And those words are bouncing in my head. And the Holy Spirit's speaking. Damon, this isn't right. You know it's not right. And it just was there the whole time. Got off work, looked around for the guy I'd bought the jacket from. He was already gone. I couldn't even bring myself to put the jacket on again. It was like it was kryptonite for me. It had lost its power. It had lost its luster. I brought it with me the next night and, again, didn't put it on. I just brought it in. I could not stand it anymore. And so I went, I found him. I said, I don't want it anymore. He goes, I'm not giving you your money back. I said, don't care. I said, give it back to your brother's friend. He goes, okay. Friends, that's how the Holy Spirit works. The Holy Spirit's in the business of convicting us of stuff. He says, we're witnesses to these things. There's another witness too, the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to all who have chosen to obey him. Friends, I know when I'm obedient to the convictions of the Holy Spirit that what happens is I start having increased activity of the Holy Spirit speaking into my life. For instance, I look back on my life, those times when the Holy Spirit's pressed me, you know, not to do something, prompted me to, like, take a step back, breathe a little bit, kind of reevaluate. All the times the Holy Spirit's encouraged me to take a step of faith, take a risk, to do something that's God-honoring. Friends, I can't tell you how many times when I've listened to the Holy Spirit, when I made adjustments in my life, when I got down the road, maybe not right then, but when I got down the road, I can't even tell you how many times I've looked back and I thought, wow, I avoided a mess there. Or I realized if I hadn't done what the Holy Spirit had asked, that I would have missed a blessing in my life. I also think about the times I got it wrong. The Holy Spirit spoke, made it very clear on some front that I was supposed to do or not do, and I went and hit the spiritual pause button. Snooze. Don't want to hear it. And then I wonder what adventure, what blessing, what opportunity maybe I missed out on. Friends, it can easily happen when the Holy Spirit's speaking and pressing and convicting. And I get it. We go, oh, I'm too busy to do that. You know, it's too difficult. It's too hard. I want what I want. Friends, when the Holy Spirit is pressing you on something, and that alarm is going off, that do not hit the spiritual snooze. I know it's too easy, but don't. Don't miss out on a God-given opportunity because you snoozed and you wanted to shut it down. You know, Jesus said, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things will be given to you as well. And all those things, it's all the things people long for in their lives. You know, there's something very, very significant that happens when you trust the Holy Spirit, when you trust God, who is relaying, the Holy Spirit's relaying God's thoughts and God's heart, is trying to guide us. And so the Holy Spirit's working. It's working to rebuke us sometimes. It's working to reprove, you know, and to change us. And then it's working to convince us. You know, John writes, it says this, Jesus is speaking here, the Spirit of truth will come and guide you in all truth. He will not speak his own words to you. He will speak what he hears, revealing to you the things to come and bring glory to me. The Spirit has unlimited access to me, to all that I possess and know, just as everything the Father has is mine. That is the reason I'm confident he will care for my own and reveal the path to you. Reveal the path to you. That just jumps at me. See, the Holy Spirit is more than trying to convince us not to do something wrong, you know, or to convict us of something we did that was wrong. Conviction is way bigger than that. It's about responding to the things that God's called us to do, you know, because the alarm is sometimes urging us forward in life. It is actually leading us to something significant, guiding us to something significant. Sometimes those leadings are small. I get it. But sometimes they're big, and we don't realize it. And something I've learned through the years is as you're listening, you know, for those promptings, when the Holy Spirit sounds that alarm, you just can't hit it. You know, sometimes those feelings, they just hit your heart. You ever hear something that just hits you here, you know, wants to work in through your heart, through your mind, to change things, and you feel like, oh, I'm supposed to do something. You ever have a moment like that? I just feel like I'm supposed to do this. And friends, you follow those leadings. As long as they do not go against God's word, they need to square up. And if they do, here's advice. See where they go. Sometimes it's something very simple that God's calling us to do. You know, to give someone a call, give a word of encouragement to someone, an act of kindness, perhaps, or generosity. You know, Cindy gets prompted often where she'll come catch me and she'll go, you know, I feel like we're supposed to give so-and-so $100. She goes, I don't know why. I just feel like I'm supposed to do it. And so we do. And I cannot tell you how many times that we find out later that they needed it. They weren't going to ask anybody for it. God knew, though, and God works. That's kind of how it goes. You know, I think I've shared this before, but a few weeks before we were to move down here to the River Bend area, the Holy Spirit was just working on me about a guy that I played hoops with. He had started coming to church. We would talk once in a while, but no real dent. I mean, he was a really nice guy, but kind of a Mr. Self-Sufficient. And I felt this leading that I was supposed to call him and have lunch. And I'll be honest, I had a limited amount of time. And so I really wanted to spend it with my good friends that I weren't going to see for a long time, and people that had been in the trenches with me and doing stuff. But that prompting, well, it got strong. And then it got loud. And I could have hit the snooze button very easily. But I also know that when the Spirit's consistent and persistent, I know that obedience is the best way. And so I called him, set up a lunch with him. The next day, I'm heading to the restaurants, and I'm driving, and I'm thinking, I don't know why I'm meeting with him. And it's kind of like, okay, what am I supposed to do? Got nothing, nothing. So I'm sitting, we're eating, about halfway through the meal. Now the Holy Spirit starts pressing me. Share the gospel with him. I'm thinking, what? Hey, what? Anybody that knows me, this is not quite my style to just blurt in. It was a defining moment, though. Am I going to be faithful? Or am I going to hit the snooze and be disobedient? Am I going to trust the Holy Spirit and follow, or just hit the snooze button? Chris was filling me in about his business. He had started a new business, how things were going. I just interrupted him. And I said, Chris, do you know why you need Jesus Christ in your life? He goes, what? You know, I caught him totally off guard. And I just shared the gospel story with him. And I said, you know, God loves you. He sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die for you. I talked to him about the difference between religion and relationship. And then I talked to him about how he could make Jesus his Savior and Lord. And the whole time, Chris was unusually quiet. He would not even make eye contact with me. We finished lunch, said our goodbyes. I got in the car, and I go, well, that went well. You know, did I miss something? What's going on here, God? A few hours later, I get a call from Chris. He goes, you know what I did after lunch? He said, I went to my office, I got down on my knees, and I gave my life to Jesus Christ. Yeah, I was like, really? You know, because I'm thinking through the conversation we had and how it went. He got involved in the church, was my understanding, started sharing his faith. He brought his brother to Christ. A few months after we had been down here, I got a call from his girlfriend. He'd been diagnosed with aggressive brain cancer. And he died a few weeks later. Chris is in heaven. His brother's a Christian. And friends, I'm just saying it all tracks back to leadings of the Holy Spirit. Anytime I think about hitting the snooze, I think about that. The fact is, you're here today. Probably can be tracked back to leadings of the Holy Spirit at some point in your life. The fact I'm speaking, I know it tracks back to the leadings of the Holy Spirit. The fact you're experiencing what you experienced this morning at this church, in this church, can be tracked back to leadings. And I don't know how I can say this more convincingly. You know, God loves you. God wants to communicate with you. God has an adventure planned for you. God sees you. He knows what you're going through. Christ followers, this stuff's important. You know, when the Holy Spirit sounds an alarm, do not hit the snooze. Stop it. Just follow in obedience. You know, the Hebrew writer says, if you hear his voice today, don't be stubborn like those who rebelled. And the Hebrew writer's talking about when Israel was wandering around in the wilderness. You know, their hearts got really hard and stubborn to the point they quit listening to God. And he's saying, don't let your heart be like that. You know, don't be stubborn about it. Don't be afraid. Don't be insensitive. Don't hit the spiritual snooze because there's a price to pay for it. Every time you hit it, you become more resistant to God's voice in your life. And friends, if you hit it enough times, you sleep through the alarms, at some point you quit hearing it. Be very, very careful. Watch out. Some of you have been walking with God a long time. And if you were honest about it, you go, you know, I used to hear the Holy Spirit like that, but now not so much. It's a heart thing. It's an openness thing. You know, my guess is it's not that the Holy Spirit isn't speaking or trying to lead you. It's just you've hit the snooze button so many times, you don't recognize it or hear it anymore. Here's the amazing thing about God. God's grace. If you come to God with a repentant heart and just ask for forgiveness, make a commitment to not hit the snooze anymore, God will start working again. He's trying to, you just aren't hearing it. You know, Ezekiel writes these words. He says, he's speaking for God. He says, I'll give you a new heart and a new mind, and I will take away your stubborn heart of stone and give you an obedient heart. Here's what I know. Some of you right now, the Holy Spirit's nudging you. You're hearing it. He's convicting you. And I know some of you are tempted to hit the snooze. Don't do that. Don't do that. I think about how amazing it would be if Faith Fellowship was a community that when God's Holy Spirit speaks, we listen. You know, when the Holy Spirit convicts, that we just fall to our knees and say, I'm sorry, God. You know, when the Holy Spirit warns about not doing something, we just stop. You know, when it points us in a direction, we hit the path, not the snooze button. You know, I'm suggesting you let the Holy Spirit illuminate you. No one else can do it for you. Only you can let him in. Only you can listen. See, today could be when your book begins. The rest of your life, it is unwritten. You know, the song says, pen's in your hand. You get to decide. I long for this church to be a place where we're guided by God's Holy Spirit. We're fully committed and obedient and yielded to God. Not just on a day-to-day, moment-to-moment basis. And I long for that because I want God, when he's searching around, he's looking for someone to do something in the River Bend area, that it's a challenge for him. He's like, wow, there's so many of them. Who do I choose? There's so many of them that I could choose because they're committed and they're yielded and they want to respond and they're listening. Friends, it's an army of God that can change the world. Ready, willing, and able, Lord, here I am. Can you imagine? We could change this whole area. You know, Paul writes this. He says, for the kingdom of God is not just a lot of talk. Let that one sink in. The kingdom of God is not just a lot of talk. It is living by God's power in our lives. Say what you want, but you'll show me your faith by what you do, how you live it out. who you follow, by your obedience. You know, when the power of God gets involved, the Holy Spirit gets involved, lives are changed and transformed. And it's a very simple question this morning. Are you listening to God? Are you listening to God? Are you listening to God? When you leave here, are you listening to God? When you go to work tomorrow, are you listening to God? When you go to school, are you listening to God? When you're talking to your neighbor, are you paying attention to what God might have you do or say? Everywhere you go, every moment of every day, are you listening to God? Are you willing to be obedient? And you stop the stuff you need to stop, or you do the things you're called to do. Are you listening? Let's bow in a word of prayer. Our holy God, God, we praise you today. You created everyone here fearfully, wonderfully. Created them on purpose, for a purpose. And God, I pray that every single one of us would just heighten our awareness of your nudging, your leading, your guiding. And God, forgive us when we hit the snooze button. Forgive us when we're disobedient. God, I pray that your Holy Spirit would give us the strength and the wisdom to not just hear, but to be faithful and obey. God, I pray that we would honor you with all we say and everything we do, everything. We give you the glory this day and every day. God's people said, in the name of Jesus, amen. There'll be prayer teams down front. You need prayer, maybe had something at work or you got a health issue, whatever. If you're new here, you can just come down and say, hey, pray for me. You want to tell them what's going on, that's fine, but you don't have to. You can just go, hey, pray for me. Got some stuff I'm dealing with, whatever. Scripture says when we pray together, God hears us. And so it's a spiritual opportunity. Let's stand. We're going to worship God together.